When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Good morning, Dom.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. Where are you today?
We're still in Italy, but we just checked into a different hotel in Siena. We're doing like a little Italian tour.
Gorgeous. So
we're now in a different hotel, which is nice.
That's so wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us again today, for making the time to do this on your vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are to do the rewatch of season 2, episode 2, A Door into the Dark.
That's right. Air date January 9th, 2017, written by Y. Shireen Razak. Director Andy Wolk, starring Catherine McNamara, Dominic Sherwood, Alberto Resende, Matt Daddario, Emerald Tabia, Isaiah Mustafa, and Harry Shum Jr. Guest stars Alan Van Sprang, David Castro. Welcome back to season two. Maxim mm-hmm. Roy, Nick Sagar, Stephanie Bennett, and of course, Vanessa Matsui, which is super exciting to have her back.
Spoiler alert.
Little spoiler.
That's
there.
Not dead.
Cap, tell us what we're in for.
So, for this episode, Clary longs for the good old days. Clary struggles to find where she belongs while Simon seeks Magnus's help. The hunt is on for Jace Wayland, and Alec and Isabel hope to reach him before the rest of the Shadowhunters do. With orders from the Clave of shoot to kill, thank you very much to Jocelyn, the Lightwood siblings must act fast. Also, on his own search, Simon turns to Magnus for help when he finds himself at odds with both Raphael and Aldertree. Meanwhile, Clary struggles to find where she belongs since she doesn't seem to fit into the Shadowhunter world yet can't go back to her mundane life. Everybody's got a problem this episode.
Everybody's got a problem. Yeah. This was filmed, as we will talk about later, with the wonderful Torontonian unexpected weather in the last 2 weeks of August 2016. A slight goof appears when a steam whistle advertisement appears in the episode, a brand that only existed in Canada at the time of filming.
Oh, that's funny. I had no idea.
I didn't notice that. Yeah, how interesting.
Either.
We'll have to keep an eye out. I wonder when that is.
And once again, we have Magnus's tendency to... The book-to-screen reference in this is Magnus taking down Walders under his wing, which I think is one of my favorite storylines, at least. The relationship between, you know, Raphael and Magnus is always...
Yeah.
Always been very sweet. It's maybe the one parent-child relationship, quote-unquote, that's not... really messed up.
Functional, yeah.
Yeah. in the entire show.
We have a whole bunch of talking points. I was just running through this episode again. And there's a lot that happens in this episode. There's a lot of, like, it seems that everyone sort of has the same goal for whatever that reason is, except for Simon and Magnus. But everyone is going about it different ways and taking different avenues. So there's a whole bunch that happens. We get into some mythology. I think our first mention of the Iron Sisters is this episode.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
A little foreshadowing there.
Little foreshadowing. And with no more further ado, why don't we just dive in?
Absolutely. So this episode starts with Clary hot on the heels of Jocelyn. Jocelyn hot on the heels of Clary as she finally confronts her mother about all of the secrets and all of the lies and all of the everything, including why did you just try and shoot your own son / my brother / someone who matters a whole lot to me and everyone in my life. We start to see a little bit of Jocelyn's dilemma in this case because, you know, there's a lot we don't know about what happened and there's a lot we don't know about the Frey Morgenstern family, we start to uncover just how dark and twisted it is, including the fact that Jace, Jonathan, Clary's brother, for lack of a better word, has demon blood in his veins, thanks to Papa Valentine.
Yeah, we, the audience, knew, but now Clary knows. Mm-hmm. And we can assume that the rest of the Shadowhunters know as well. Not great. Not great. Not great for anyone. Mama Dearest is not being quite so dear, to be honest.
No, not at all.
We did skip a scene. We start this episode directly picking up from episode one. So Jace and Valentine have
Oh my God.
Another little conflab. But it just sort of adds to the confusion in Jace's mind of the effects of a rising downworld and an ineffective Clave at sort of controlling the criminalistic elements of the downworld, as we just saw in the vampire den. Which will be important later on because this vampire then ties in with Simon and all this, that, and the other. But you're absolutely right. Then we have a whole mother-daughter conflab.
Indeed.
Which poor Simon is involved in.
No.
Bless him. He doesn't feel like... We're going to find this more and more as the series goes on. But he is also very alienated from the place that he thought he was. He became a vampire and had to struggle with that and then got welcomed sort of back into the Clary Simon thing. And then when Mum woke up, he was sort of no longer welcome as part of that group, which is actually really sad. I thought this was pretty rough to see when I just rewatched it.
It is. I mean, we see Simon time and time again caught in the middle of so many things, whether it's Jason Clary or Isabel and Alec or Camille and Raphael or whatever it may be. But now we see him caught in between Clary and Jocelyn, which is kind of an interesting place for him to be, because obviously he understands Jocelyn's side of things and wanting to protect Clary and wanting to do all of this, but also he's been through this with Clary and he's seen and he's met Jace and he knows that he's, you know, not an evil dude inherently.
Yeah. Well, who knows is the real thing. Like, you know, this I think is sort of one of the interesting dichotomies that everyone was playing with. And again, you know, this was one of those episodes where I wasn't really with anyone until the end. So I get to see these little idiosyncrasies in everyone's performances post-date afterwards with the audience. And I think one of the interesting dynamics here is like, he is the best soldier. He is the fastest. He is the strongest. But the difference, I guess, in psychology between being a hero and being a villain would be if you were doing your job because it was your duty or if you're doing your job because you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And we don't know the answer to that.
We don't.
At this point. Or you don't. I do.
Right.
But you don't. And I think what Valentine is trying to convince Jace to do is to enjoy it.
Exactly.
Which is dangerous. Anyway.
Well, and there is, because of Jace's and Clary's childhood / lineage / whatever you want to call it, there is a little bit of that Morgenstern in them. There's a little bit of Valentine in both of them in a way, and a little bit of that, maybe sadistic is the wrong word, but that vengeance and that kind of rage that exists. And it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I digress. Because now we end up back at the Institute with Aldertree and Clary and all of the folks getting their orders.
We did get to see in the scene that you were just talking about before we skip over it, we did get to see potentially baby Jace.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. That's, again, that's...
We saw baby someone.
Which interestingly, we don't use that rune very much. It's, again, it's only in this episode particularly that this sort of memory transference power is used.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember if it's ever used again. And I think the only time is Jonathan uses it once later on. Or maybe he just tells...
I can't remember.
Maybe he just tells Clary about it.
Possibly.
Or does he use the demonic? I don't know. There's a memory shared later, but we'll have to wait and see how it's actually done.
We will have to wait and see.
But back to when we're in the middle of this episode, we do get to see Baby Jace, who is very adorable. I would hazard to say, even when his eyes are black and demonic.
I don't know about that.
But
although we were just talking about it, Decca was just here before she scooted off to the pool so I could work. And she was like, we were a bit like, it's a bit rough to sort of call your baby evil just because he didn't like the magnolias. Like, take him to a rose bush. Maybe that was all the issue. Maybe he had an allergy. There also was a bee in that flower. I don't know if anyone noticed. There was a bee in that flower. Like, what the fuck are you doing putting a bee next to your newborn? Of course he's going to be pissed. I understand that. I'm honestly, just based on that footage, I'm on Jonathan's side 100%.
I mean, look, maybe he was just trying to protect mom. Maybe Jocelyn's allergic to bees. And he's like, oh my God, a bee. Ah,
exactly.
Kill it.
Exactly. I agree.
Plus, he's a baby. You know, he can't be faulted. He just doesn't have
baby.
He's just a baby. Isn't that a TikTok?
I'm not on TikTok.
I don't know. I don't know TikTok. Somebody showed me yesterday. And I was like, oh, baby. I don't know. Anyway, now we have Clary trying every avenue she can to figure out who's going to help her get Jace back. If her mom won't, goes to Alec.
Mm-hmm.
Who we see in a real spot.
He was not the guy to go to. He was not happy with Clary at all.
No.
You have a telescope. I do. I have a little telescope.
Can you see Alec's animosity toward Clary through the telescope?
Blurry. Oh, there it is. No, I got it. There it is. Yeah.
There we go.
Just a little closer. What a cool little device.
That is cool. But, you know, we try. Clary tries to appeal to Alec. This was one of the first times I got to work one-on-one with Matt since season one. And he's just great, you know?
Yeah.
Gotta love some Matt Daddario.
Gotta love some Matt Daddario.
Especially and some sweaty boxing Matt Daddario. We know the folks love that at home.
Well, he's good at all of it. But what I noticed later on is those sort of moments of catharsis as an actor where you get to unleash a little of maybe some of your animosity as a human being throughout something. He's very good at those. Very, very good at those. And also, if you haven't seen it, go and watch Why Women Kill, because it turns out he's very funny. He has an amazing comedic talent as well. So if you haven't seen Why Women Kill season two, go and watch Why Women Kill season two, because his character Scooter is fantastic.
Well, we got to see firsthand how funny Matt Daddario is pretty much at any hour of the day. But if you'd like to experience it yourself at home, check it out. And now we're into an interesting part of the show where we get the dojo,
casting.
The fight dojo for the first time.
He's casting. Valentine is casting for new people. Have you ever been to a dance call that's just like this, where everyone stands around and they're just like, go in the middle and do some stuff for us, and it's like horrifying?
Yes, many
times.
That's
what this scene reminded me of.
So true. And then it's just the rapture in the middle of it.
Yeah. And
just
then
the Valentine
just like,
rapture.
Yeah, which is how it works in casting. If they just like, you get at the end of your little like moment, they either give you like a nod or a shake of the head and you're like, that's either the lights are on or the lights are off, and you just fucking leave and that's the end of it.
That's
brutal.
True. Although I find that, you know, folks that practice martial arts are usually very aware of their surroundings, and the fact that these people can't figure out what happened, it's a bit perplexing. But, it is supernatural, I guess.
Yeah, it is supernatural. It would have, my assumption is the lights went off and a portal would have happened and he just went, when he was in the portal. That would be my assumption.
I don't know. Rewatching, now we're back at the Institute with Lydia giving orders and Clary being purposely excluded from all of this. I couldn't help but have flashbacks to, like, those times in middle school and high school when, you know, you find yourself excluded from certain things. It hurt a little bit to rewatch this episode, I gotta say.
Yeah. Nobody wants to be excluded.
I was like, I know this.
Although in this case, nobody wants to be excluded, but Clary has caused some trouble. I don't know if this is the right avenue for her to take. In fact, we know it's not, because I just got to the end of the episode and I know what happens. And we know that it's not a good idea for you to go on this mission.
I mean, true,
you know, there's a lot of bias and emotions clouding judgment and all those things that Shadowhunters talk about all the time. But, you know, you really want to put Aldertree in charge of this? Aldertree's all, you know, shoot to kill, and Lydia's still, you know, got her own trauma.
But it was Lydia's call to not send you.
No, I know.
Or invite you to the briefing. It was Lydia's call.
Yeah.
I trust Lydia. We also, just by the way, knock-on effects of you taking your own actions, accidentally getting kidnapped by Dot. Spoiler alert. Should have said that first, but a bunch of spoilers are coming out here because it's all coming to me all at once. Knock-on effect. Kidnapped by Dot. You get hypnotized. Jace ends up going on the werewolf hunting mission. Werewolf dies because of it. Jace gets blamed. Episode 3 gets the shit kicked out of him by werewolves. I know we're not supposed to, but like, thrown through a window.
Okay. I get it. Look, Clary's a baby shadow hunter. She's got some lessons to learn. I understand.
Who's she told?
I know. When is she going to learn?
Although It is sad.
But the one good thing we do get out of it is this lovely moment between Claire and Isabel. And I do love the beginning of this scene as well, because it's been a while since we've seen Clary go back to art. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that's kind of the root of who she is. And later on becomes the root of what her special skill is.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of who she is as a shadow hunter and who she is as a person. But this notebook I always loved, and it was in Clary's room for most of the time that we shot the show. And the amazing lady from art department who did all of Clary's drawings had sketched so many different things in this notebook. And I would just flip through it and find something new every time. And we used so many of them in different scenes for different reasons. And I'm not even sure if half of it was pre-planned or if we got there.
It just ended up working. Let's throw this in. Yeah.
Exactly. But it's the Institute, and it's Jace, and it's Simon, and it's all of these elements. But, you know, this is another one of those moments in the show where Clary's lost. She has nothing to ground her. Her mother, Jace, Simon, they're all kind of gone or against her or in a place that she can't reach or doesn't understand. And then to have Isabel come in, who's another, you know, woman in this world who could very easily be another one to alienate her. And to have this moment of Izzy and Clary where they get to bond and we get to see this little bit of sisterhood come out, and, you know, potential for those who've seen the show for the future is, it's a really lovely moment.
It is. Yeah. Little clues, little sprinklings of clues.
This was our utility bedroom at this point, I think. This set actually was Alex.
Yeah, I don't think we had them yet. I don't think we had our personal bedrooms. That was like mid, either towards the end, although we don't spend a whole lot of time, especially you and I, in either of our bedrooms the first half of season 2. It's a lot of like in the woods dying.
Yeah. Well, that happens a lot. Spoiler alert. But this bedroom, I think, was Izzy's, Alex, and Clary's throughout at least this part of season 2.
Yeah. Poor Simon's at a loss again. Simon at a loss.
We have a little bit of Alaric.
Did I miss one?
Alaric and Luke.
Oh, we do. We have a little policeman action.
Shout out to Joel LaBelle. We miss you.
Joel LaBelle. We're going to get him on the show. Joel's fun. We like Joel.
Yeah. But we see that even there's a lot of people in the middle of being pulled in different directions in this episode, including Luke, because he's, you know, trying to deal with Jace and Simon and Clary, all of his kids that are all over the place. But also, you know, Alaric reminds him, hey, guess what? The pack. You have other responsibilities.
Yeah, you still got stuff going on. Yeah. Poor Simon then is getting bullied by the werewolves.
I know.
He's got no place to be except for the boat basin.
The boat basin is what I was trying to say.
The boat bassoon. In which we find out that Simon fucked up. Simon fucked up talking to Aldertree. Accidentally blamed Raphael for something. And we do get this little hint about how, like, against the Geneva Convention the Clave can be. Like, this active torturing thing, which I think we see later, don't we?
We do, but not by the Clave.
It's not by the Clave, but we do see it happen, right?
We do see it happen, yeah.
But the concept of this still happening, still continuing, this sort of archaic procedural is horrific, and you can't help but kind of feel for Raphael, or at least I did in this, like, sort this out. I don't want to get nailed to a cross and have beams of sunlight burn off my this, that, or the other. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, at this point, we've seen that Raphael isn't, you know, the the evil mastermind that we've seen in other episodes. He's just a person who is trying to, or a vampire, a creature, mm-hmm. who's trying to make mm-hmm. his way in the world and trying to do right by his people. And yeah. Simon doesn't quite understand how the world works yet, and very much in the same way that Clary doesn't understand how the world works yet. And, mm-hmm. you know, everybody makes mistakes sometimes. And then we find out that, you know, the shadow world has some serious consequences here.
It does.
I love watching these two work together, though.
They're great. Yeah.
They're just great. They've got such a good chemistry that there's always this undertone of humor, but it's usually gallows humor, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. Well, they're both dead, so that makes sense.
I'm back on the boat.
Mm.
Back in Valentine's Den of Horrors.
Back in the boat with young Jeremy, very handsome young Jeremy here, who lost his father. His father to a werewolf and is seeking revenge. And this was a cool scene because it, again, feeds into that sort of difficult dichotomy because that, for a large part of season one, was sort of Jace's motivation, was revenge. In fact, the first time we see him kill a human or a shadow hunter, that's what he says. This is for my father.
But then we found
out. Tricky because you like kind of get it. These like young prodigies that have been like hurt and want to fix that hurt sort of understand, which is tricky.
It's kind of Valentine's MO. Like, hey, you have parental trauma? Let me utilize that and turn you into a weapon.
Yeah. And that's where we're at. Jace is still unsure, but that's the crux of that scene. Jeremy's going on mission. Mama's coming searching for Clary. Clary, where are you? I've got black coffee with lots of sugar.
Little book callback. Yeah. Well, that's what Clary, that black coffee, black with sugar. That's Clary's thing. It's also my thing.
But that's what's going to sort you out on like, brother's gone. You just tried to murder him. Lead bag. He's like, I got coffee for you. Why did you leave your stele?
Because I'm leaving the shadow world behind, in a sense.
This is what you're trying to do here? You're just like giving up on everything?
Yeah, basically. Because nobody wants... Clary's feeling a little sorry for herself, you know?
Sure.
Everybody's like, we don't want you. You don't belong here. Sure. Go away. What are you doing here? She's like, well, fine. I'll just take a hike then.
Wow. I didn't read that when I watched the episode.
Yeah.
Probably should have because I read the scripts. So I should have remembered, but I didn't at all. Wow, I just thought you were taking a break. I thought you were just off, like, I just need a little me time, which even that I thought was a little selfish, but
whatever. It's clear.
It is what it is.
She's a little selfish from time to time.
We all need some me time. I get it.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
This scene with Clary walking down the street, I have very specific memories of because we really weren't supposed to be shooting on the street in Toronto. I'm not exactly sure, or at least on this part of the street, because it was near Union Station. It was rush hour. It was me and Matt and I think Glenn with a little the little camera that we had.
Yeah, yeah.
Just walking down the street back and forth. Wow. Right there by Union Station.
Looks great.
It looks great. We had a bunch of, I think it was one of those times where, you know, as some folks may not know, when you're shooting in a city on a street, there's not often time to get releases from everyone who just happens to be there. So instead what they do is they put a little sandwich board near where we're shooting going, hey, if you walk past this point, you consent to being on camera. And it was one of those times, but it was rush hour and it was another kind of sandwich board.
They all look like paid backgrounds. Like everyone behaves flawlessly. Nobody's looking at the camera. It's incredible. I don't know how they pulled that off.
They did a really good job.
Great job.
Thank you, citizens of Toronto, circa 2016.
Thank you, citizens of Toronto. so many reasons over the course of.
True that. Ooh, here's a little fun tidbit that I didn't catch until right now. When we see Alec and Izzy walking into this side door, this is the same door, I think, that we walked out of right before YouTube Herbitai tracked in episode 4, because it used to be Hardtail, this side of the studio.
Let's see here. Let me have a little look.
Because do you see the little walkway up top where the raccoons were?
Yep, you're absolutely right. Yes, it is.
And this fight club used to be Chernobyl.
Oh, did it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it did. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yes, it did.
They just took out some of the machinery.
Another gutted room in our weird studio that we had. Our weird little fucking family-run studio.
You know what? We made the best of it. Yeah. We really utilized our space well.
Use a bunch of stuff here, which was kind of neat. This is fun. I really liked this scene. I remember this scene being like so like bro-y and macho. And then when Izzy stepped in and was like, no, let me put you in your place. I loved that. And even like kind of puts Alec in his place, like, no, I don't need brother doing this. I got this.
I got this.
I was like, that's cool. That's really fucking cool.
That's the way it's done. You know, that's the way we do on Shadowhunters. And then we get one of my favorite storylines in the entire series, Simon and Magnus.
Simon and Magnus. This whole section is great. All the way through the portals and it's all this whole stuff. I love all of this. It's brilliant.
Yeah. This is another element that I just loved that Alberto did. It's the sickening nature of portal travel. We don't really get to see anyone, you know, because the Shadowhunters just kind of are made for it. So we all just sort of step through and it's fine, even Clary. But for Simon, he wasn't made for this. He's still getting used to this world. And it's, you know, it gives a sort of reality to the world in a way, because people would, you know, things aren't normal. We have to adjust to all these forces.
Yeah.
I always love the business that Harry finds in this apartment. He had so many things and he's always doing something and he's just always doing something. He owns the space.
Yeah. It's his space. I love that. This next scene, so Turkelmember comes in, tries to kidnap. Oh my goodness, it's Izzy. Change, everything's good. Little shenanigan there. But we really got to see the level that they gave us the ability to darken the show. Like how far they were then able to go with someone actually drawing a knife across his throat, which is something we did not see in season one.
They wouldn't have let us even get close to that.
Not even a little bit. So to see, and it's quite shocking. Like it's quite visceral and it's actually quite, like even me watching it, I was like, oh wow, holy shit, I can't believe they let us do that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But it does, it's not for nothing. You know, it shows this brutality and the urgency, like the mortality of the situation that all of these people are in. Like it literally is life or death, and that's the real problem.
Yeah. It really shows, you know, the lengths to which Valentine has inspired loyalty in all of these people and the enemy that we're facing.
Yeah.
But now, you know, a little light Brooklyn Academy of Art situation.
Yeah. You just broke in.
You know.
To the Brooklyn
Academy. I remembered
Academy.
The soundless room this time.
Was that you?
I don't. They're not mine, but they're outside my apartment.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
sorry.
Cute.
Sorry about that.
No, I love it. I literally have my shirt says puppies.
Aww.
It says it backwards, but what says it backwards to you? For me, it says it the right way. I think this is Nina Dobrev's company. It just
I
says
think you're
puppies
right.
make me happy on it.
Yeah, that is Nina's.
Thanks, pretty sure. Nina. Thanks, Nina.
But we're breaking into the Brooklyn Academy of Art. Clary learned her lesson in one respect and remembered the soundless rune and the glamour rune this time. So
you can use it. You don't have your stella.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You just broke
just
in. You just regularly broke in to a university.
Just a little breaking and entering. It's fine. Yeah, technically, I was accepted there, so maybe it wasn't.
I think they might be a little shocked that you have spent... Actually, it hasn't even been that long, has it? It's only
it's
been like 2 weeks.
A couple weeks. I could
so
have
you
been
only
sick
missed the
something.
First 2 weeks. That's true. Yeah. You might have already had a badge. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Maybe it wasn't even a B&E. Just come in and say, hi, guys. What's going on? Do a little skyline drawing.
There's a little element of this section of the episode as well where you see, you know, what Shadowhunter parents are like. With Luke and Jocelyn kind of going, well, I know where she is because I tracked her, but I'm just letting her do her thing until she learns.
Yeah.
It's like that mom and dad playing against each other.
It is mom and dad. It's Jocelyn in this is like crazy manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that it's fear that's leading her that way. I understand. And we will come to understand why she behaved this way, why she is so overly cautious on the verge of tyrannous.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because she doesn't. But there you go. Let's move on before
Whoa.
I say stuff I shouldn't.
Whoa.
Too late.
Two episodes. Come on, Doc.
Is it only two? It's only two
more
episodes?
It's only two more.
Oof, brutal.
It's rough.
Anyway, we are in, what was it, Agbar? I keep saying Agrabah, but that's the fictitious town from Aladdin.
It's Agrabah, too.
It's not Agrabah.
I think it's Agra.
It is Agra. Well done. Very
thank
well
you.
Done.
Thank you, thank you.
It is, in fact, Agra. Also, amazing job, visual effects team. We did not have actors in Agra. The portal and the green screen, the whole backdrop. This is pre... They would have been on the roof of the studio. This is pre... So by late season two, beginning of season three, we had a 360-degree green screen stage.
Right.
So if they wanted to put something on the back, you didn't have to worry about lighting or different things coming in. It was inside a studio and it was 360 degrees. That's how they do a lot of the Star Wars shows now.
Yeah.
But we didn't have that yet. So they were just on a roof and folks VFX and Philippe would have had to paint everything out and then paint everything back in.
This, I vividly remember this episode because from the moment we got back season two, Philippe had been given a heads up about something that happens later in the episode. And he was so excited because he built it from scratch.
I know what you're talking about. And it looks fantastic.
It looks fantastic. Is that, do we get to see that now?
No, not for a little bit.
Oh, so they're trying to find Camille. Because in order
Correct.
To exonerate Raphael, they've got to find Camille. And Magnus and Camille have their own history. And so Magnus
sure
is like,
do.
Fine, I've got a bone to pick with my ex, so I'm going to go pick it.
Yep. He finds a bunch of his shit at her house. Listen, I'd be pissed too.
Yeah.
A Ming dynasty vase must be worth an absolute fortune, especially in the condition it's in.
Yeah.
Unacceptable, Camille. Not that we didn't need another reason to hate you.
I do love the fact, though, that we get to see these little elements of how different creatures in the shadow world can connect and the common ground that they can have. You know, for example, a warlock who is immortal will collect things that he's experienced in little items. Mm-hmm. And we know vampires have a propensity to collect / steal valuable items. And
great word. I've never heard propensity before. I don't even know what that word means. Good job.
Thank you. Oh, and then we have Clary back to art.
Clary drawing, boots down the door, enter parents, coming to try and chastise.
Yeah, I mean, Clary...
Luke's face, Isaiah's face is just calming. Just
really
even
is.
Having him there is, I just feel stress leave me, which is really quite pleasant. I don't even have the sound on. It's just the subtitles and I'm watching the images.
Me too.
And it just looks nice.
He's just such a dad, you know? That's something I've always, I still call him dad. Because he gives the best advice. Like you said, he's such a calming presence.
Mm-hmm.
I understand Clary's plight in this. I really do. But there's a little bit, she's still a little girl in a little bit of a sense. She's not a little girl. Her name is not little girl. But she's got a little growing up to do. You know, she has to understand. Mm. We've seen the stakes of the world in this episode. And I feel like she's still lost and caught in between. But that's just the chink in her armor that we need when she runs out and finds very sick Dot.
She doesn't look great. Dot doesn't look great. Yeah, she doesn't look good.
She looks great in the sense that, you know, good job to makeup.
But she's also better. We thought she was dead. So she looks better than that.
Yeah.
Just by a little, but as a live human being or live warlock, she doesn't look great.
Not looking great.
All kinds of veins going on, all kinds of poison veins. It's not ideal. Poor Dot.
Poor Dot. Poor Dot.
It's all right. She redeems herself later on this episode.
Yes.
I think. I'm pretty sure.
Does she? Yes, she does. She does.
I think so.
In a minute. But we're back on the boat in the horror show.
The horror show, the menagerie, the prison. And you're about to be given a new ability. A new ability. Lies.
See the future. Lies. Here, let me give you another thing.
Interestingly, I think diehard fans will have known that this was a trick early, because that is all footage from season one.
Yeah.
All of the flashes are footage from season one.
I will say, when I was shooting this, the one thing I kept thinking of was, you know that game where you like smush your face and then try and make different faces? No?
Nope.
Okay. Well, that's what that felt like, because Dot just sort of grabbed my face and just goes like,
just smush my
face. Let me give you the memory. That's all I could think of.
What's the fish one?
Fish face?
I don't think fish make the noise I was making, though.
They might. I don't know. Underwater, it's maybe. Like if a fish makes a weird noise underwater. Yeah.
You know what I saw? Did we talk about the pufferfish thing?
What the pufferfish
thing? Did we talk about that?
No.
Did I never mention this to you? I've been talking about this a lot recently because I saw a video of a pufferfish deflating.
Oh, yeah.
And I just, as a kid, had this image and just didn't ever get past it. You're just like, oh, that's that piece of information checked off for me. It doesn't ever need to be questioned. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's wrong now when you think about it analytically, but I just assumed they were full of air. I just had assumed that they were full of air, like balloons. Of course, they're not. They're fish. But I saw one deflate out of the water, and it just spits out a bunch of water.
They're and full that's of how water? It deflates.
Of course, it's a fish. Where are they going to get air from?
They're gills. They breathe.
Oh, that's not how that works. They can draw the oxygen out of the water, but no, they're full of water.
That is...
Also, otherwise, they would just float. They're little balloons. They can sit at the bottom.
Well, that's what I always wondered.
I just had no idea. It blew my mind. I was like, oh, yeah. But also, like, of course, it's a fish.
I mean, yeah.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, you learn something new every day.
Yeah. I don't even really remember how we got into that. Oh, because we were making a fish face.
Yeah. Little fun science facts from Dom and Kat on the podcast. Yeah. We always end up there.
Yeah, you can fact check me as well, but if you disagree, I don't care. I'm just going to keep telling people this. Yeah. We are finally at, I think, the shot that Philippe was excited about, that you were talking about. Is this the one you were talking about?
Yeah, I think it was. But first we have a little scene with Izzy and Alec walking in the street, which I sort of love because you get to see a lot of Toronto. You get to see the burrito company that we love and second cup coffee and a nice little... thing, but it plays back into, it's a little foreshadowing for next episode, I think, when we're talking about the Parabatai rune and how that bond and how it's affected by everything that's going on. But now, yes, we are back at the scene because, you know, Magnus sends Simon off on a little errand, and then Simon's exploring, trying to find Camille, and of course, the place is booby-trapped.
It is booby-trapped. Well, I don't think it is booby-trapped, though. It's just not Simon friendly.
That's
but I don't
true.
Think it's booby trapped because this ends up being Magnus's friend.
Oh, that's fair.
It's just like, it's just a cute little snake. Honestly, it looks like a real snake.
It does. And this was created by our folks VFX team. It looks so good. Every time I watch it back, it gets me because it just, we might as well have had a snake wrangler. Oddly, we do have snake wranglers on Walker Independence.
I'm sure, yeah.
Not because we have snakes in the show, but just
to try and keep them away. Because there are fucking snakes everywhere.
In the world.
Yeah,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you not, would you not need, New Mexico is also spiders and scorpions, right? Wouldn't you need guys to make you aware or to at least try and, no?
Maybe that's right, covered under the snake wrangler. I don't know.
You'd think it might just be a dangerous animals wrangler. Because yeah. They'll have anti-venom and stuff as well in case you get caught.
Sure.
You would, I would think. I don't know. I'm not a snake wrangler, so I don't know, but you kind of hope so. What do you have? Do you know what you have there?
Rattlesnakes.
Oh, it is rattlesnakes, like diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, super deadly. Yeah. Oof.
Yeah.
Do you check your shoes?
I will from now on.
You don't want to put your foot in there. That's going to piss off a snake real quick.
Yeah, although my little 1800s boots with the extremely non-functional heels are probably not the home for snakes.
They have you in, like, actual period costume. They haven't made it more comfortable in any way.
I mean, they've offered, but I'd rather have the posture of the corset and the shoes and things like that. I do have boots now in case I need to run or something that are basically like Doc Martens. But yeah, something I've learned is that those heels that were made for the 1800s, they were basically just a hindrance for women. They didn't help at all. They're not.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They don't really do anything except make you slower.
Yeah, it's just a chunk of wood, wasn't it? Like nailed into the bottom of the shoe, basically.
Yeah, and the shape specifically actually makes it harder to do things. But hey, I love a challenge. You know that.
But hey, hey ho.
Now we're back to, as you mentioned earlier, our first mention of the Iron Sisters, which for those who don't know from the books are these sort of, I guess, the closest thing Shadowhunters have to nuns, as it were. But they're
kind
of female Shadowhunters who dedicate their, much like the Silent Brothers, dedicate their lives to runes and clairvoyance and seeing the future. The Iron Sisters dedicate their lives to making all of the weapons of the Shadow World. So they are
the only ones that are gear.
They're the only ones that are able to handle Atomus and all of these other elements because they, you know, they dedicate their lives to learning how to do that and to gaining those skills and powers. We found out that Luke's mother was an Iron Sister.
She was indeed, yeah.
And he breaks the
poor
cat.
We never meet her, though, do we?
No, she's dead.
Ah, oof, sorry. Moving swiftly
on. She's very dead. I believe if we go back to the books, I think Valentine might have killed her, or she died in that war somehow. I know. He's a bad dude.
Brutal. That sucks. Yeah, he's a bad dude.
I could be wrong. But I just assume if it's somebody that somebody we know cares about, Valentine killed them or had a hand in it.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a safe assumption. That makes sense.
But we get a little parabatai crystal gem rock helpful.
Adamus chunk of the city that he's just left. Let's hope it wasn't load bearing. Which brings us very neatly to the offer, the danger offer. You can find where your parabatai is, but it might kill you. Although I don't think we find that out in this scene. I think we find it out in the next scene. But the offer is there.
I will say, though, that's kind of always a safe assumption. I feel like we quit saying that at a certain point.
Yeah.
Maybe like halfway through season two. Like, oh, you could do this or you could die.
Yeah.
It just kind of
like, you could do this. And we just like to yourself, we're just like, or I could die. Yeah, I get it. We know.
Yeah, we know.
Just, that's always the option now. We understand.
Success or death.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep. I get it. Yeah. I get it.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
We're back on the boat. You and I back on the boat. This was like the first time. Oh, no, that's not true. I was going to say this is the first time we interacted this season. That's just not true at all. Mm-mm. Not even a little bit. No.
Although we might have shot this. I have a feeling we combined some of the episode one and two stuff on the boat.
Possibly.
And I think this might have been the first scene we shot for season two because it was day and the other stuff we did was night. So I think we started with this.
Mm.
Am I wrong?
Very possibly. Very possibly. I honestly can't remember for the life of me, but it's very possible. Possible. My hair is definitely not episode two hair. It's episode one hair. Because they...
That's what I was thinking.
Fix some stuff. This was a whole nightmare.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I just remember it was humid and mosquitoes.
It was humid. It was hot.
And something else I remember, which I learned, this is kind of a silly fact, but this shirt that I'm wearing was made of this like really thin linen and they steamed it. But when they steamed it, it grew because the fabric just stretched. And so they had our amazing wardrobe team, Julianne, actually. Mm-hmm. We love you. We miss you, Julianne. Hope you're having fun on the boys.
She's on the boys?
She's on the boys. I know.
I'm so jealous.
I'm jealous of all of them. I keep telling my buddies on that show, I'm like, you take care of Julianne because she is amazing.
Yeah.
We love her. But she did a last minute alteration on set on the day to make the shirt fit again because.
Amazing.
Because she's a badass like that.
She is. She is indeed. Another life or death offer for Clary, though, this time. Jace is like, I don't really understand. And I sort of remember this, like the motivation here is just like brotherly protection. But I feel like, honestly, the best solution would have been like, she's not going. I'm also not going.
Yeah.
That's your answer. Go on your mission. I don't care. But neither of us are going on this thing. That's not how it happened. Because that's not good storytelling. Good storytelling is what happened. And Jace goes on the mission.
Oh, and then we've got Simon and the snake again.
Oh, so good. He's
really trying this Encanto thing, you know? Oh, it's a fire-breathing snake.
It is indeed a fire-breathing snake, which is cool. Like, again, Alberto's so good. All of this is reacting to nothing. Like, nothing was there. There was nothing there. There probably wasn't even like a ball or an eyeline marker for this one because it was just him. So you didn't need one.
Yeah.
The eyeline markers are for when there's lots of us and we all need to be looking at the same thing. Mm-hmm. Here, it was just him. So he's just doing, this is all just imagination. He's doing such a good job. I also think it's funny that Magnus now has like a burlap sack and he's just slowly filling in his stuff bit by bit, which is, and Simon's about to die.
Yeah, and he's just like, oh, the dagger. Oh, this.
Oh, actually, this is a very, very important scene, the dagger.
Yeah.
Very important.
When do we find out about the dagger? I think it's, is it later this season or the beginning of next?
I don't think it's this. Oh, I think it's in this season.
It must be.
I think so. Yeah, pretty sure. But anyway, to be discussed later on.
Do not forget this dagger.
do not forget this dagger.
It reminds me, there's see if you can help me remember, because you know Disney movies arguably better than I do. There's a dagger in one of the Disney movies that's Aladdin. Like this. Is it Aladdin?
Aladdin?
I thought it was.
And he, at the beginning of Aladdin, Jafar, no.
It's the old man.
Through, it's when he's the old man and he takes the lamp and takes the dagger out and goes to stab Aladdin. And I think the carpet saves him. I'm pretty sure. I think carpet saves him, but that's the dagger it looks like. Almost identical.
I knew you'd know.
You're right. Yeah, yeah. I know my Disney stuff.
Nice little Disney wink. Disney to Disney wink.
Little Disney to Disney wink. And then we get Encanto working. Good job, Simon. We're so proud of you.
Simon.
Or the snake was just like, nah, you're an idiot. And then just kind of goes away. So it's difficult to read that snake reaction. We'd have to ask Philippe what reaction he was trying to get off the snake.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
It could be like, oh, you're new. Okay, I'm gonna give
maybe,
you a break.
Yeah,
I'm
just all
gonna,
right.
Gonna
yeah,
wheel
I'm gonna
out
go
here.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with this. How cute. And then it just turns out to be a buddy. How sweet.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Let me see Alex's room for the first time. We've not seen Alex's room yet.
Yeah, I don't remember where this set was.
It was the utility bedroom. Or
it was
Aldertree's office. I forget if it was the office or Clary's bedroom, but they redressed one of the rooms in that hallway. We had sort of this set of two or three hallways with, I think, two or three rooms off of them on the other side of the op center. And they would just redress these rooms to be whatever we needed.
Whatever we needed, whenever we needed them.
Whether it was Inquisitor's office.
An amazing job.
Or the head of the Institute, or a bedroom, or did it become anything else?
I don't think so. But later on, we started building more sets for things that were going to be used more regularly. It does become, although maybe that is in the office, another moment.
Oh, yeah.
Right at the end. Remember? Sticky couch. That sounded gross. That's not what I meant at all. We'll just have to circle back to why I said that. It's absolutely PG. That's not what I meant at all. We'll come back to that when the episode is on. But yeah, it was the reality, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Clary's in a cage. And Dot comes up, and it's kind of evil Dot.
It's kind of evil Dot, but she's under a spell, like the injections made her compliant. Is that what it was?
Yeah. Valentine has basically done what he does best and, you know, just shot people up with things until they are under his control.
Yep.
But it is fear-based, which is interesting because it's not just, I will do your will. It's, if I don't do this, he'll be angry.
It literally says that. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Maybe it is just a version of torture that's made them compliant then. Maybe the injections themselves aren't whatever that, what's the like truth serum drug? I can't remember what it's called.
Oh.
Like a technical name for it.
Mm-hmm.
Something hydrochloride, I think.
Yeah. Sodium?
Don't know.
Nope, we don't know.
I don't think it's sodium. But hey, maybe it's like that.
Perhaps.
Dot is sorry. Listen, Dot. Ugh, that's a heartbreaking line. Why did you stop looking for me?
Right?
Brutal. And the answer is because, lady, you got thrown out of a second story window and you hit the railing and we thought you were dead.
Yeah.
Like, for sure thought you were dead. We weren't looking for you. We didn't start looking for you. We were just like, oh, you're dead. Dead.
And not only that, but Magnus told us, I don't feel her magic anymore.
Correct. Yeah.
Which is, I think, the only reason that we did stop. Because we all thought, even Magnus thought she was dead.
Yeah.
Must be the whole overwater tracking situation.
Well, she was in Chernobyl.
Oh.
Maybe the radiation.
Valentine's got some wards going on that kind of supersede a lot of things.
Whatever it was, we couldn't find her. Magnus
Sorry,
couldn't
feel Dot.
Sorry,
Dot.
Sorry,
Don't
we didn't
let it
come
happen again. Now we're back with shirtless Matt Daddario.
Oh, so exciting. Pensive Matt Daddario is more important here, I think, than him being shirtless. He looks fantastic in his shirt, but what he's doing with his face, the emotions that he's feeling. That's the real important thing here.
Yeah.
Oh, these flashes through.
The babies.
Wait, this is the first time we see the babies, right?
Oh my gosh, you're right. It is.
I think so, because they come in episode three.
I didn't catch that.
This is stuff from episode three. This is the first time we see baby Jason, baby Alec.
Aww.
And teenage Jace and teenage Alec.
Oh, yeah. And a flash, for those who are really paying close attention, flash to season one of Memory Demon episode.
And of very good.
Punchy and punchy, Jace, fighty fighty.
Jace Alec Fighty. Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. Ah, oh, Magnus.
Dagger.
We're back with Magnus and we're back with the dagger. Just tell us, man. Tell us what's going on. Let us in.
I just have to point out, listen, Antiques Roadshow. You really, really made my heart happy.
Come on, buddy. That's funny.
Oh, man. Maybe I'm just a grandma, but I used to watch that show all the time.
If it's on, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Is he explaining the dagger right now?
No. He's just saying, don't touch it. It's important. Because I'm like, I'll just use this. I'll be resourceful.
Oh, he's explaining why he is the
godfather.
The bird, the godfather, the bird's wing under which many other downworlders learn to become downworlders.
I now have this vision of Magnus sitting behind a desk like Marlon Brando.
Mm-hmm.
Just being the godfather to all of
them. I would see it. It works. So I'm excited about this scene. You and I know how it ends, but this was like our first proper Darren Maguire fight, or at least my first proper Darren Maguire fight scene, because I remember this day.
Oof.
The day before, 2 days before, we were on this same set.
Yeah.
And there is a fight scene that's about to happen underneath this rigging. And it's all quite sharp and it's all quite dangerous. And we had to be, obviously, the level of the fight had to be physically lower. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking over and I was sat in my chair and Darren is over there doing it. Just trying to plot things out with his legs bent. And he was doing it for about 20 minutes. And I came over and I was like, let's work this through and whatever. And this is really special to me because this was like the first time the real discussion was had of like, how would Jace react? And like, how would these sort of things happen? And there's a moment that we both discussed. I think it was Darren's idea, actually. He said, I want Jace to be so good and so quick that he is entirely aware of everything that's going on around him at any time. So when a sword is swung, I think at the back of my neck or the back or just my back, the block happens without thinking. I knew that that's what that was going to happen. And then we're on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And that was Darren's idea. And I thought that was the coolest thing. I also don't know if that is the scene. I just saw the rigging and I was like, I like it.
No, but you're right. To your point, Darren is so good at every single detail of not only making it look cool, but putting character behind it and making it mean something. And I think that's why people responded so well to the fights in the show, is that everything had a reason and a purpose and a motivation. And that's all Darren.
It is all Darren.
So thanks, Darren. I miss you. This actress was so good and so lovely to work with. She played Heidi, the werewolf.
Gretel? Is it not?
Gretel. No, it's Gretel. I think in the books it's Heidi, which we used Heidi as a different name later on.
Correct. Her name is... Oh, her name's Joanne, and I knew that. Joanne Jensen. Jensen. Joanne, if you're listening, you did an incredible job, and thank you very much for being such a team player, because these were tough days.
You were so lovely. And you were
chained up the whole time, / dead in the water.
Well, because this was before we had... Toward the end of season two, they were able to make magnetic cuffs, so that if anyone was bound, they could be unbound on their own. This was pre that. So people were pretty much actually shackled. They were plastic shackles, but they were still actually shackled. And that's not a fun thing on set.
Yeah. No, it's not. And it's uncomfortable and there's really nothing you can do about it. It's rough. Shackles are rough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of claustrophobic being shackled that way too. It doesn't feel good.
No, it's not fun.
No, it isn't.
But here come Clary. We get to see the glowy swords again, which I love.
We do.
See Clary and Dot walking up.
And then we end up with this nosebleed during the tracking moment, which is obviously ruined because we end up in the water again.
I forgot about the nosebleed.
Yeah. So for those who don't know how nosebleeds are done, it's kind of grim. They get a little sort of circular sponge about this big, but it's very porous, very, very porous sponge. And they dip it or soak it in fake blood and then put that up your nose as far as they can, obviously, so it doesn't go into your sinuses, but just up into sort of the column of your nose.
Yeah.
And then you have to not breathe out of your nose until they're ready to go. So you end up sort of sounding a bit like a beetle. The musicians, not the animals, obviously. And then when you're ready to do it, they'll say action, and you let the air come out of your nose, and it will force the blood out, but not the sponge. And that's how these nosebleeds are done. There you go. Little insider information.
He did it very well. You know, thank goodness he didn't have a lot of dialogue in this moment. Otherwise,
it would be a bit more difficult. It's all ADR. There's nothing you can do. You can't speak and do it. However, there literally is. In the background of this shot, Vanessa is there. She's about to do the portal thing. It's after the fight. Noses are bleeding. We don't know what's going on. She's about to open up the wards. And there literally is a lightning strike behind her.
Wait, what?
That was this day. That was this day.
Oh my God, you're right.
We were on the boat and we watched this thunderstorm just come towards us. Slowly. It was this day. And there literally is a lightning strike still in the show that happens behind her. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. So because we've teased this so much, this day was very humid. There was a storm coming and we were on this boat. This is actual boat in the actual water. We've talked about it many times. But because the lake is so large, we could watch the thunderstorm as it got closer and closer and closer. And I remember sitting there on the boat with you going, how does this work conductor-wise?
Copper conductor.
Yeah.
I mean, the assumption would be that boats get hit by lightning and it doesn't just kill everyone on board. Like, there must be some...
It's got to be grounded something that somehow. Fixes
it. Like, it must be, but I don't know enough to say how.
I don't know if anyone knew on that set, because I think we didn't quite think about that.
No, we rushed through this and we hightailed it as quickly as we could. This has ended. I wanted to do this stunt so badly, but they just wouldn't let us do it.
They wouldn't let us.
It's high. It was like 30 feet, 35 feet off the side of the boat. And I really wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm. I would have done it with you.
The issue was actually, interestingly, the issue was with this stunt wasn't necessarily the impact of the water, although you do need to hit it correctly at 35 feet. Otherwise, you will get hurt. It's because it was so dark. You couldn't see where the surface of the water was.
Yeah.
So you couldn't prep you hitting the water correctly. So Aaron did it. And Aaron does an amazing job. And I was honored
Aaron
to have
Mediev.
Him help me play Jace. Yeah. Great job.
They absolutely killed it.
Amazing stuff.
And to do that in I don't know, Aaron didn't have a wig, did he? He just dyed his hair.
Aaron did not have a wig. Yeah. But
Mediev had a wig and the boots and everything else. And it was and then Valentine kills her anyway.
Huh.
Well, stabs her.
Oh, he does. That's right. Because she ends up now.
Throws her overboard.
I'm catching up.
Yep. And that's our episode.
A bad guy. That is, in fact, our episode. Wow. More to come. I'm very excited. So I think I've mentioned this before a few times, but episode 3, season 2 was my favorite episode that we ever shot. It was absolutely my favorite through the journey that Jace goes through and the ending and it's absolutely my favorite episode maybe that we ever did, definitely of this season. So I'm excited to start talking about that. But in the meantime, thank you so much for listening. I hope you had a little journey with us. We learned a little bit about nosebleeds and how you do some behind the scenes stuff, which was fun.
And boats.
And what did I say that was useless? Something.
Blowfish.
That's right. We learned a little bit about blowfish. Unless I'm wrong. If there are any blowfish experts listening, just either tell me I'm right or don't tell me anything.
Put it in the comments below.
I don't have
below.
The capacity.
Send us a tweet.
Just send
a message
let me know.
At Return to the Shadows on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? Whilst we're at it, go follow Return to the Shadows on Instagram. Go give it a little look-see. Our team put a huge amount of work into that and we really appreciate it. So go and just give it a little. I'm not really the guy who will tell you to go and follow or click or engage, but like. Our team puts some work into this, so
it's worth your while because it gives you little sneak peeks at future episodes, little polls, questionnaires, and you know, next time we do a mailbag, that's where you submit your questions for the two of us to answer, just for you, the Shadow Fam.
Absolutely, thank you all for listening. Thank you for coming on our journey with us. Thank you to our lovely producers again for getting up at 7 in the morning on the God-given day of rest. Very, very much appreciated. Thank you very much.
Absolutely,
we love you.
You are angels, as all of you are. Thank you so much. Return to the Shadows is hosted and executive produced by me, Catherine McNamara, and Dominic Sherwood. Our executive producer is Ling Lee. Our senior producers are Liz Hayes and Diego Tapia. Our producers are Hannah Harris and Kristen Vermilia, and our intern is Sam Katz. Original music by Alex Kinsey and performed by Alex Kinsey and Catherine McNamara.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.